Hi, I'm Steve.
How's it? I'm Sam.
And welcome to the Business and Beers podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Business and Beers. So great to have you guys listening to us again. If you haven't already listened to the first podcast of 2021, where Simon and I chatted around, do we believe in New Year's resolutions? And if you guys listened to that episode, you'd understand that one of my goals is to do half Ironman. So I thought it'd be really great to have Simon in the hot seat today. Simon's done a half Ironman. So I'd like to just pick his brain on about half Ironman, how he did it, why he did it, and why we should do it. So Simon, just explain to our guest, what is this crazy thing called half Ironman?
Yeah, I must say it's quite funny. Eh? The teacher becomes a student today. Definitely more nerve-wracking on the other end. I get a bit of a sensitive topic when I told people I finish Ironman, because if you're a diehard Ironman fan, you know there's clearly two. There's the half Ironman, 70.3, and then obviously the full Ironman, 140 point something. And because I don't know the point something, you obviously know I haven't done full Ironman. But in essence, what a half Ironman is, you do a 1.9 kilometer sea swim. After that, you get straight on the bike for 90 kilometers, and then straight after that, you run 21 kilometers. So it's a brutal day out. You've got a cutoff time. Last time I checked was 8 hours, and that includes literally your transition, the whole race, and getting across the finish line. So with a lot of people, they say, and this will probably be argued a lot, half Ironman is actually a lot harder than Ironman, and that's due to if you have any problem with one of the legs, you either always playing catch up or you're just not going to finish, because you literally don't have any time to mess up in any areas, if you could call it that.
Okay, so that sounds pretty brutal to me. So you're basically doing 70.3 kilometers in the day across three different disciplines. I suppose you could be like, why be shit at one? You could just be shit at all three, you know? So Simon, just explain to our listeners, what the hell was going through your mind to decide that you want to do this crazy thing? Just explain to our listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, did you do the one in Durban?
Yeah, so it's actually a very funny story. This whole idea stemmed from three of us at school, still back in Woodlands days. And of course, you go to a braai, and as Anthony always likes to say, a DMC, the deep meaningful chat comes out. And I'll never forget it. It was three of us, myself, Dean, and Anthony. And we started getting into the deep meaningful chats, and we kind of said, guys, we need to challenge ourselves. Like, we need to do something out of the box. And I really don't know what the hell was in the air, but we decided, you know, the perfect thing to do was Ironman. And we quickly realized that half Ironman would be it. So we kind of made a pact with one another that the way that the race is going to work is that all of us have to, before we die, finish a half Ironman. And at that stage, we were all still in the country. So that meant there were three events available, because the rules of the game were you couldn't do the same event that someone did, and you pretty much had to do it once someone had done it. And we kind of left it to bed. And I remember sitting at home, and I got a phone call from Anthony, and I literally wanted to murder him. So Anthony, if you're listening to this, thank you. But I wasn't so happy at the time. And he phoned me and he was like, great guys, I've entered for Ironman East London. And I was like, oh shit. So this is actually being serious about it.
Legit.
And the more the oh shit side came in, because I realized there were two more venues left. And that was Durban, which was a half Ironman. And then naturally, if I did Durban, that meant Dean had no choice, but he had to do the full one. And I was like, screw this shit. Like, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to do Durban. And at that year, they were just speaking about launching it. And as they pretty much said, great, we're doing Durban. And I was like, screw this shit. Like, I'm not doing PE. And pretty much entered for Durban. And that was it.
Yeah. Also, it just seems like Dean lives overseas now. So let's hope. I think if I'm correct, he's in Switzerland. Let's hope they have a 70.3.
Well, actually, last year he was going to do it, and it got cancelled.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great news then. Dean, we wish you all the best for your upcoming. So, Simon, because we chatted previously in our dates about New Year's resolutions, and Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about the data and training up for this event, because like it's, you can't just go and swim. You need to swim, cycle, and run. So tell us, did you have a coach? Did you have a training program? How long before did you train for this thing? Yeah, tell us a little bit about that and the data behind it, if there was any.
I'm laughing in the background because data was in existence in my life back then. So as a good old faithful person, I went onto Google and typed in half Ironman plan. Okay. And try to follow that thing as much as possible. But super fortunate at CrossFit, I had the likes of Maddy and Stuart, and these guys were like supreme athletes. So really kind of sat with them and said, guys, like I'm doing it. And super fortunate that they jumped in and said, great, like we'll do it with you. Come and train with us as much as possible. And kind of broke down the plan. But the problem was that when the event was launched to when I decided to enter, gave me 6 months to train. And anyone that knows, like 6 months is hectic when I didn't really have a strong triathlon background. I'd done one or two sprint events in the past, but a sprint event and this was like a complete different beast. I didn't really know what my body could do. And the worst part was that the training started leading into winter, which means early nights, flipping cold. And the problem was, like, we don't really have major facilities to suit, like, optimal training. Partly because I wasn't a Virgin Active member, so I didn't have a pool. So, of course, I had to go to the good old faithful Boksburg North. Mm-hmm. And anyone knows, when you swim at Boksburg North, there's always a chance of, okay, not a dead body, but, you know, a lot of times, yeah, there's weird things floating in there. But, yeah, so kind of got a program, spoke with a lot of people, and kind of knew where I had to go. And very quickly realized like the task at hand. I got very scared because for me, I was a naturally born swimmer. I loved swimming and cycling just came really naturally to me. But of course, the last leg was the run and I'm cuck at running, like really, really cuck. So yeah, often I found with my training and also doing a job became super difficult because most of the time in the week, that was like your critical training. So it was either training early in the morning or late in the evening. I mean, there were times where I just didn't have the time and found myself running down Homestead Dam at 9 o'clock in the evening. You know, having security like following and saying, dude, what the heck are you doing? And it's like, no, I'm training for half Ironman. And it's like, but you are stupid, you know?
Yeah, and it's cold. So now speak to us. You've done the training. You're feeling prepped. Tell our listeners about Simon doing Ironman. Tell us, how was it? Is it recommended? Speak to us a little bit about your thoughts when you did it. Like, did you get out to swim and you were great? You're in first place. Like, explain to us how Ironman went that day.
Yeah, so I think even before we go to the day, it was a shit show, to be perfectly honest with you. In all honesty, I mean, you know, jokes aside, it's really taught me so many lessons that I'm actually still feeling today. So for me, I finished, you know, I was one of the first guys to do the Durban Half Ironman 2015. And still to today, I'm learning stuff from that race, which I never, ever would have picked up. Number one thing for anyone wanting to do these events, prepare. Like, make sure you are prepared. I'll never forget, like, the run's 21Ks. Big advice from Simon, don't train 8Ks for a 21K run because it's going to bite you in the freaking ass. Yes,
after a 90K cycle.
Yeah, exactly, man. And, you know, just leading up to it, looking back now, there were just so many things which were trying to get me off of my path. But one thing you learn about becoming that type of athlete is that no matter the circumstance that you're in, you need to overcome it. I mean, we're talking about a week and a half before I was due to go down to Durban. My wetsuit ripped in a training session. And for the life of me, I couldn't find someone to fix it. And eventually found some dingy shop in the middle of Joburg CBD, never met the people. And I was like, you guys really need to fix my wetsuit. And they fixed my wetsuit, I think, with like 2 days to go. And I never tried my wetsuit on until the start of the race. Jeez. So that's now the stress that I'm leading up to. And then, you know, great. You get down to the event, you've got this athlete village and the vibe there is just incredible. You're with all these like-minded people and people are talking about PBs and I'm just like, I just want to finish the race. Bear in mind that Anthony had set a flipping fast time for East London and that's probably one of the hardest half Ironman. So I was like, shit. Okay. So I've also got a bit of a target that I don't want this oak to beat me. But yeah, like the whole experience was really cool. But again, all these lessons that I started leading up, you know, leading up to the event, yeah, when I say shit show, you'll start seeing like the stuff that for me personally, it was just my inexperience and, you know, not leaning on the people around me as much as I should have. So night before, we stayed in the same hotel room, myself, Maddie and Stuart. Obviously, the three of us were competing. The family was staying in another hotel room. And Wazar Simon decides, okay, great, the night before I'm going to go out for supper with my family. You know, instead of chilling, taking it easy, making sure everything's prepped. So, of course, you get home at 9 o'clock. Now you've got, like, the race jitters. And I'm like, shit, I didn't shave my legs because shaved legs are fast, eh? Like, yeah, you know this thing. Yeah,
gives you PBs, eh?
But clever Simon didn't pack the right razor blade. So I bought the big, like, one style use. Now, anyone that's trying to shave their legs with that, realize you cut yourself flipping easy. And what was going through my mind is as I shaved, I cut like a big gash out of my leg. And naturally, what attracts sharks?
Blood.
Blood. Right? Now, this is the shit that's going through my head. And it's 10 o'clock in the evening. And I'm sitting and shaving my legs in a shower that wasn't meant to be shaved. And I've got like literally all these plasters. And I'm scared of sharks. Like really, really scared. And I found out from people that a week before the event, the swim was potentially going to get cancelled because of the sardine run.
Oh, jeez. And what eats sardines?
Sharks. Exactly. So, literally just before the event, probably 3 days before, the sardine run had come through. And my uncle paddled there and the night before. We met them for supper. And he said to me, but if I were you, I just wouldn't do the event. If you know the size of the shark that are swimming in the bay where you're swimming, good luck. And I was like, great. Like, now I've got shaved legs with blood all over. I'm going into a fresh sardine, shark-infested water. Like, I'm freaking out, man.
Just don't be at the front or the back. Just be in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. I came up with all the strategies. Like, I need to find. Like, if a shark comes, who am I going to pull? What do I need to do, you know? If you search my Google search history leading up to the event, like, how to not get eaten by sharks was common. So, yeah, leading up to the event, woke up in the morning. What happens with Ironman is the day before you put your bike in. And then the morning, they open up the pen for about an hour. And you go put your final supplements and your drinks and all the nutrition you need for the day. Well, yeah, let's talk about preparation because I got into the pen and I realized I forgot all my water in the hotel room.
And H2O is quite important. Yeah.
So I had no water for my energy drinks. I had no water for my shakes. I had nothing. And the race was about to start, call it 45 minutes. And the pen was going to close in 20 minutes. So he has me before the event running around Suncoast Casino trying to find water that I eventually went into the toilets and I used the basins to get the water. So yeah, like scramble, finally get all my water bottles full, get everything full. And the Oak's like, but we need to get to the beach now because the swim's going to start soon. So great, like freaking run, you know, David Hasselhoff down the beach. And I get there and I can't find my family. So now I'm like, okay, cool. I'm doing one of the biggest events. I'm shitting myself. I don't have water and my whole support structure is not there. So I eventually find some random and I'm like, hey, dude, I need your phone. So yeah, obviously you heard I'm from Joburg. So I thought I was going to steal the phone and, you know, was a little bit reluctant. But eventually gave it, got hold of back then my girlfriend, who's my wife now. And I said to Uncle, where the hell are you guys? Like, I'm freaking out. Literally, I was panicking. So with about 5 minutes to go to start, they eventually got to the beach, you know, hugs, kisses, how you feeling? And I was like shaking, you know, you could have put music on and would have thought I was Elvis Presley. But yeah, so what actually happened was you self-seed yourself in the swim. So I kind of estimated I'd finish the swim in about 40 minutes. Yeah, I should have gone to the faster group because there's some freaking slow oaks. So advice, going to the faster group and rather, you know, go back. So this was all the stress that I was dealing with leading up to the event. And eventually the sun started rising, got onto the start, and I was like, cool. I was at the start line, and at that stage, they started their staggered start swim. So they let 5 swimmers go every 10 seconds. And yeah, another bit of advice, don't train in a pool for a sea swim.
Yeah, of course. The waves, it brings a whole nother element. Eh?
Yeah, so got into the sea and I'll never forget the day. I got probably waist height and I put my head under the water and I had a panic attack. I couldn't breathe. And I was like, no, it's cold. And I did it again and I couldn't breathe. And I eventually just kept trying to put my head under water until I got about shoulder high and I realized, I can't swim. Every time I put my head in the water, I'd stop breathing. And I'll never forget, I looked
but
to the...
But that's good though, because you can't breathe underwater.
Yeah, this is true, man. This is true. But I'll never forget, I looked to an athlete to the right of me. He was probably 20 meters ahead of me. And what you don't realize about Ironman, well, for me, because I didn't read the rules, again, prepared as a freaking donkey without a cart. If you touch a life raft, if you touch a boat, if anyone helps you in the swim, automatic disqualification. So I looked at this athlete and I'll never forget, he was having the exact same thing as me where he couldn't breathe. And he stuck his hand up, and as he touched the jet ski, the oak's like, "You're disqualified." And I was like, "Well, this
all
is
that
shit,
training,
man.
You're done." Yeah.
6 months, my girlfriend had flown down to surprise me. I didn't know she was coming. I had family there, and I was like, "This is it. Like, I can't swim 1.9 k's. I'm 30 meters into the swim,
so
and
1.8
like, I haven't even gone around the first buoy, which is 200 meters out." And I'll never forget the day as I watched the jet ski go past me. I looked back at the beach and my family was there cheering for me, and like I got teary in the water because I was like, shit, like who am I doing this for? Like, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for my family? And I was like, I can't let them down.
No, but now your goggles are filling up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, shit, man, again, like what a shit show. And eventually I just thought to myself, you know what, Simon, like you got to do this, boy. Like no one else is going to do this for you. And I was like, cool, if I doggy paddle 2Ks, great. Like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be longer than 40 minutes. But
yeah, exactly. I was already watching like the 50-minute guys get into the water. And I eventually just started doggy paddling. And as I started getting comfortable and started relaxing, because obviously what was happening is, because I'd never seen the bottom of the sea floor, every time I looked, my body panicked. And then I eventually realized, okay, cool, look forward. So every time I did freestyle, I was just looking forward, turned around the first buoy, flip, man, 600 meters in. I'm like, no, man, this is great. And then in my mind, I'm like, cool, just look down to see if you see sharks. Yeah.
Oh, jeepers. Hell no, then panic station.
Stop breathing again.
And now there's no floor because you're in the middle of the sea.
Exactly. And then, yeah, as we started going around the buoy, got comfortable, kind of got in the rhythm. And then again, like as it would be for my whole journey into Ironman, as we turned the final buoy, what happened was, there's a beach for anyone that goes to Durban, you know, Pirates Beach. Pirates Beach is probably one of the most unpredictable beaches. You can have backwash, sidewash, leftwash, I don't know what all the terms are. And when we started the race, the swell was half a meter. When we got to Pirates Beach, the swell had picked up to 2 meters.
Jeez.
And it's the scariest feeling because as you turn around this last buoy, you've got 200 meters or 300 meters to the beach. That it literally feels like someone pulls you from the ceiling and pulls you 2 meters up and drops down. You again.
You're going to get seasick.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, what the hell now? Like, literally, can nothing go right here? And yeah, literally just started swimming in and I started looking around me and it was carnage because what happened was the waves weren't like curling in. It was literally dunking people. That people were coming out 200 meters past the exit point of where you should go. Oaks were losing numbers. The oaks were getting ripped wetsuits, losing goggles, caps. Like, you got onto the beach and it was like that scene from World War II.
Yeah.
I was like, what the flip?
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, eventually, I think if I'm not mistaken, my swim time was like 34, 35 minutes. Got onto the beach, kind of ripped my wetsuit off. You know, it's like the greatest feeling. And saw Anka on the beach and I was like, oh shit, okay, cool. For me, the worst part is over now. And I'm going to get on the bike and, you know, just going to absolutely fly.
Would you say the bike is your strongest discipline?
Yeah. So for me, I was prepping. I'd make up a lot of time on the bike. So I knew I'd kind of be okay on the swim, make up time on the bike. And then my whole strategy for the race was leave as much time for the run as possible.
But to beat Tony.
To beat Tony. Yeah. And again, like clever Simon, I had freaking... best decision in the world, but in my transition pack, I decided to put biltong. And of course, biltong is full of salt, and salt naturally starts dehydrating you. But yeah, I got on the bike, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, the route down to Belito and back, and you know, we were averaging 33, 34, and it was amazing. Also, a new experience because you're not allowed to draft in Ironman. And like, it's crazy. They've got 4 or 5 referees on motorbikes and you just hear a whistle coming. When you hear a whistle come, you just like diverge. You don't ride behind anyone, next to anyone, because The way it works is if they catch you three times drafting someone, disqualified, out the race. You know, so it was super fortunate, had no mechanicals, the bike went really well. For the 90Ks, managed 2 hours 58. And, you know, just as we finished the bike, like a headwind picked up. But I knew for me that coming off of the bike was, like, that was going to be my hardest bit now was the run. And bear in mind, I haven't seen anyone that I know for 4 hours. Got into the transition, chowed more biltong, of course, as naturally anyone does. Eat as much salt as you can. And then started getting on the run. And as
so we just to remind our listeners, we're about 3 hours 30 in now. We've got an 8 hour time cap, right?
More. So we were, at that stage, we were about 3:50 quarter.
Okay. So yeah, that's including the transition. Yeah. So let's just say we're about halfway into our cutoff.
Yeah.
And you're now about to start the hardest discipline being the run.
Yeah.
21.1 Ks.
Yeah.
Cool. Talk us through that. After your biltong, what happens?
So great preparation. Clever Simon, didn't know about running shoes. Went into the Adidas store and bought the cheapest pair I could. Adidas Boost, because it gives you a boost every time you run. And so we're looking at about 4 hour mark roughly there. Came out of the transition, 500 meters down the road, my whole family was there. And I was like, I just stood there and I was like, I just want to be around you people. Like, I'm taking strain now. I know this is going to be a difficult leg. And I kind of said to myself, great, that the way we're going to do this is we're going to run 500 meters, walk 500 meters, run 500, walk 500. And later on, you'll understand like the significance of this. But throughout the whole triathlon, you've got a belt around you, and that belt's got your number, and part of your number, they've got your name with the country that you're from. So, of course, I've got this on, and 8Ks training for 21K run really helps, because your 500 on, 500 off became 50 walk, 50 run. And as we started going at, 4 hours in, call it, I can't remember exactly, but it was about 6:30 that we started. So now it's midday in Durban.
Piping hot, yeah.
Running on the promenade.
Humid as anything.
Yeah. So, of course, each water point, I'm now like super thirsty. I don't know if it was from the biltong, but...
Just having a chill there, yeah.
And as I got to each water point, as we started making our way through this thing, I kept chucking water on me, but... Clever me, my shoes were netted. Oh, so geez. What happened is every time I chucked water on, my shoes were like a boat and just completely soaked.
And but you're getting hot. You need to cool down.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is lekker. It's good fun. So eventually did 5Ks, and the way that it was two loops of 10.5. So two loops of 10.5. And as you get to certain checkpoints, they give you like a headband. That's kind of confirmation that you have done the whole route. And... kind of went, let's call
knowing
it,
you, I'm surprised you didn't bribe the oak just to give you two on the first
lap.
I was
your I promise you, the thoughts going through my head. And up to this stage now, let's call it, we 3Ks into the run, I'm hating life. Like, I'm physically saying to myself, why the flip, like, screw you, Tony. Like, I was physically thinking of ways I could punch him in the penis, like, sorry for the crudeness, but like, this is what's going through my head. Now we 3Ks in, I've got 18Ks left, and get to the water points, and my strategy is just changing all the time, because I'm like, what do I do? And as I started walking, what happened was my body was cramping. So I couldn't lean forward. I couldn't lean back. I couldn't stretch to the side. Everywhere I stretched, I was sore, like physically hurting. And I'll never forget the significance of the number. As I was walking, this chick said to me, come on, Simon. And I was like, you flipping, like, the words that went through my head. I was like, I'm going to murder you now. Like,
yeah.
Thank you very
I'm
much.
Walking,
I now physically have a target that I could murder, because, like, I couldn't move. I physically couldn't move. And it was at that point that I reached the darkest point I've ever been in my sporting journey. Like, I physically sat there and I was like, I quit. I physically cannot do this
so
anymore.
So you stopped.
I stopped on the side of the road and I was like, I quit. I hate this. Like, I never signed up to this. My body is hating me. I couldn't move. And then I started realizing all the water I was pouring on my feet gave me blisters. So now I'm running with blisters. I can't move. And some stupid tart, like, sorry if I figure out who the tart is, I will apologize. But at that stage, you're the biggest tart in the world, telling me, come on, Simon. And I was like, shut up. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to move.
I'm over this,
And I'll never forget that for me. Was when the race became mental. it was screw the physical. Like, nothing I could do would make my body feel better. And then I just said to myself, come on, like, let's just take this step at a time. Like, 1 meter, 1 meter, 1 meter, 1 meter.
Just keep moving forward, yeah.
And then I started seeing people around me struggling. And I started seeing them adjusting their strategy. And then as it went, probably a K after that, we got to the turnaround point. And I started, you know, coming around back to where my family was now. So, you know, call it now, we're getting close to 10 Ks in. And I eventually started finding my rhythm again. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can actually physically do this. Because in my head now, I'm counting down every step I'm doing. You know, that's kind of where you get. Like, okay, cool, this, multiply that. Okay, cool, I roughly have to do this. And I got back to my family. And when I got back there, Stuart and Muddy had already finished. And now I'm like, okay, shit. Like, yeah. This is really...
So the oaks are waiting for you.
Yeah,
man.
The oaks are waiting for me. And I'm like, okay, what must I do now? And... yeah, eventually just kept going step for step. And I was like, I will finish this. I'm going to finish this. I don't care what happens to my body. If I die today, cool. I've actually made peace with, if I collapse, I'm cool with it. Because I knew the end goal was I was going to finish a half Ironman no matter what it took. And at that point, it also, my goal changed. Like, I didn't care about Tony's time. My goal for me was getting that finisher medal and not disappointing the people around me. And I started going and, you know, I was like, cool, like, I'm sore, go get my last lap. And I came past my family, and probably 500 meters ahead was a red carpet. And like, the red carpet, they had cheerleaders and the spectator, eh? Like, and I was like, flip. I ran past my family, and there's a photo on Facebook where I was like high-fiving them, and that was probably like the best. I felt really good then. And of course, running down the red carpet, you can't walk. So I felt like Iron Man. I was like, ah, oh, flip, my body's amazing. You know, run across the red carpet. And everyone always told me, when you finish an Ironman, whether it be half or full, it's emotional. And I was like, cuck, man, I don't know what these oaks are talking about. I got across the finish line, got my medal. And as I walked around the finish line, I saw my mom and uncle. And I was like, shit, I know what the emotion is. I just burst out crying. And oaks were like, why are you crying? And I was just like, I don't know. I physically don't know. I've finished something that I never in my wildest dreams ever thought possible. And also the shit show that led up to this, like, I actually overcome everything and to be standing there, you know? Mm. And like, I was like, shit, like, I actually finished half Ironman, you know? And I couldn't, I don't know, like, still to today, you know, when I think about it in like a lot of detail, like, I still get teary because I'm like, shit, like, what you actually put your body through, you know? But then, of course, you finish the race and everyone was lekker and... Again, clever Simon didn't go to the medical tent because I was like, no, I'm fine. And the biltong was still great, bro. Like, who cares?
Still fresh, eh?
So, of course, you go back to the hotel room, you shower, and we decided, cool, we're going to Hooters in Umhlanga. And I was like, bro, I'm going to smash a liter of beer.
Yo, Big Daddy there.
Big Daddy. But again, like, what does beer do? It dehydrates you. So, of course, you can obviously pick up the theme of where I'm going at. But yeah, it's like, sorry for the bit of like crude language that's coming up, and a little disclaimer if you've got kids in the car. But went to bed all happy, like, you know, messaging oaks, cool, I did it. And I wake up in the middle of the night, call it 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I was like, I don't feel so well.
Dehydration setting in.
And I was like, okay, I think I should go to the bathroom. And I got to the bathroom and I started vomiting. Oh, and I was like, okay, cool. So, had a little bit of a chunder and went back to bed and fell asleep. And, of course, like, gaseous things happened in my stomach and I needed to fart. But, yeah, the fart wasn't really...
It was a shiart.
wasn't gas. And, like, you know, as that saying goes, like, I shat myself. But I didn't shit myself. Like, I shat the bed. So... I got out of bed and I was like, okay, great. And of course, as all hotels have, it's completely white.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, I scrambled and I was like, shit, like, literally shit. And, you know, I quickly took the hotel sheet and I scrambled it and I chucked it in the cupboard and I like checked that everything was fine, made the bed, went down to my parents' room and I was like, oaks, I really don't feel well. Like, so my dad's like, well, how do you know? So I was like, well, I shat the bed. kind of like got into it and he's like, well, what did you do with the sheets? I was like, well, good luck to whoever cleans that room and opens the door. But I also realized the value of having a finisher shirt when you finish any event. Because when I woke up in the morning, I couldn't move. Like, I could not walk. My body was so sore. And I then figured out my strategy. Well, great, put the finisher shirts on, because if I walk like a dumbass, Oaks would be like, oh yeah, this guy finished Iron Man. But yeah, I mean, long story short, what eventually happened was when I came back to Joburg, I went to the emergency room, still wasn't feeling well, and landed up having 2 drips because I was so severely dehydrated. But again, like, complete lessons learned in preparation, you know, making sure that you eat the right food, making sure that your nutrition's right. And of course, the biggest thing is listening to the people that have done it before. Because, you know, that kind of like pride takes over and be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, I can do it better. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks so much, Simon, for maybe a little bit of overshare. But thanks so much for sharing our story with our listeners. I think, yeah, from our side, it's a huge respect for Simon for finishing the race. But I think it was really such a great episode for me, because we could just see the lessons that Simon learnt along the way. And yeah, for me, I think a few things that just stood out is just that preparedness, you know, like, you know, the task at hand, he knew he had 6 months to get there, but, you know, in those 6 months, did he need a little checklist so that he knew what he shouldn't have done? When he was doing his training rides, he should have trained with Biltong, you know, so it's just like, try and replicate as many of the situations as possible, so that you can see how you're going to feel on that race day. And then, yeah, I think there's really a big effort there of never giving up, you know, like, Simon knew mentally that the run was going to be the toughest part for him, but just that, as he called her, the tart, that in the end she got him through it, because that's where he felt like that, and then he acknowledged that, hey, this is where my headspace is at, this is the deepest and darkest place, but I'm going to push through it. So yeah, and I think that, and then yeah, if you guys want, just DM us to know which hotel he was in and which room, because you obviously don't want to stay in that bed. But yeah, thanks so much, Simon, for sharing with our listeners. And yeah, guys, Simon is also available on the Instagram channel. So if you want to ask him either questions around his Ironman experience or anything like that, yeah, please feel free to ask him. And I think just to close it off, Simon, so when are you doing the full Ironman?
Yeah, so of course the full Ironman was never on the cards, but once I did half, the bug kind of bit, and that wasn't enough for me. So yeah, it's kind of been like a bit of a sensitive thing for me. I really wanted to do it last year, but yeah, I decided to get married instead, and kind of pushed it, not last year, the year before, so that would have been 2019. Then kind of said, cool, I'll do it 2020, event got cancelled. I was like, cool, I'll do it 2021. Event got cancelled again. So yeah, hopefully 2022 when life goes back to normal.
COVID,
But yeah, definitely keen to do it. And yeah, see where that takes me, eh?
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And we do appreciate it. And then yeah, we look forward to recording our next episode of Business and Beers. We'll have a really exciting guest again for you guys. So please have a great one. Cheers.
Bye.